The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
While the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to start this morning by telling you a story. The previous church I served at, Palmer Memorial, was located right in the heart of Houston, next door to the Texas Medical Center, which is the largest medical center in the world. People come from all over the country and the world to receive care at these top-notch hospitals. Because we were the closest Episcopal church, Palmer was blessed to be able to walk alongside many of these people through their health journeys. If an Episcopalian came to the Med Center to receive care, they would often reach out to us, and then Palmer would become their church home for the weeks or months that they were staying in Houston. This was the case with an older man named William. William came from Louisiana to Houston to await a double lung transplant. For many weeks, he stayed in an apartment close to the hospital, waiting for his chance for a transplant. He was very sick. He had to be on oxygen 24/7. He could hardly breathe, and when he spoke, his voice was barely more than a whisper. But even so, William was a delightful person to visit with. He was funny and quick-witted, and he loved the Episcopal Church, and especially our music. I visited William a few times at his apartment, where he sat on the couch day by day, oxygen tank buzzing, waiting and hoping and praying for a second chance at life. After many weeks, that day came. I heard that William had been admitted to the hospital for his lung transplant. Everyone at Palmer was excited for him, but we were scared. As you might imagine, having your lungs removed and another pair implanted is no small feat. The whole process is risky and the recovery is brutal. A few days after the transplant, I walked down to Methodist Hospital to see William. He was in the ICU and he was on a breathing tube and connected to all sorts of IVs. Not in a good way. We couldn't talk, of course, but I prayed with him, prayed for healing, and squeezed his hand and told him I'd be back and then left. And I will admit to you that when I left the ICU bay that day, I was not very hopeful that William would ever leave that bed. But several weeks later, he did. I called over to Methodist Hospital and discovered that he had been transferred to a hospital down the street, a rehab hospital. He still had a long ways to go. He was still on the breathing tube, but this was a decidedly positive step towards recovery. The first week of Advent, I went to visit William in the rehab hospital. I have to admit to you, I got to know the med center pretty well my 2 years at Palmer, and this was my least favorite hospital. It was kind of an old building, it didn't smell great, and just one of those places that kind of had a depressing feel about it. And it made me sad that my friend William was spending his Christmas here, away from his family and friends in Louisiana, fighting an uphill battle for his life. So once I was in his room, I gave him this little multicolored candle that the children of the church had made for him for Christmas and tried to tell him a little bit about what was going on in the church, even though he still couldn't talk back as he was on the breathing tube and he wasn't totally mentally present. I visited him a few times in that room over the next several weeks. And again, I will confess to you that every time I left, the knot in my stomach just told me that William maybe wasn't ever going to get out of there. After Christmas, things at the church got busy. We started our new programs, our new classes, and there were a couple weeks when I wasn't able to go see William. One night in early spring, I was sitting at dinner with some parishioners at Palmer on Wednesday nights. We had a big parish dinner, kids running around, it was real busy and loud, it was great. So I was eating my dinner and chatting with some people, and I looked up and I saw something that made my jaw drop. William was walking towards me. He was dressed in a nice shirt and pants and shoes, and he was smiling. I could hardly believe my eyes. I felt like the disciples in our gospel lesson today. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. How was this even possible? Here was a man who had been at death's door for months, and now here he was walking towards me, dressed and in his right mind, ready to eat dinner with his friends. I jumped up and hugged him just to feel him, feel that he was real and really alive. I was overcome with wonder. And throughout the parish hall, all the people in the church who had been praying for William or who had taken him communion at his apartment or at the hospital, we were all looking at each other, overcome with joyful disbelief and amazement, just smiling and shaking our heads. The 14th century saint Julian of Norwich believed that a deep spiritual life would produce three virtues: awe, humility, and love. As Christians, we're pretty familiar with humility and love. We know that that is part of following Jesus. But what about awe? How is awe central to the life of the Christian disciple? The stories we read today from Acts and from the Gospel of Luke tell of people who are overcome by awe. When the crippled man in Acts is raised up and healed, we are told that the people were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him, and that they were utterly astonished. They had witnessed resurrection. A man was returned to health and life, and their response was awe and wonder. Then in the gospel, Jesus appears again to his disciples after he has been raised from the dead. We are told that at first the disciples were startled and terrified when they saw this live flesh and bone Jesus. But then their surprise and their shock turned into joy. And the gospel says, in their joy, they were disbelieving and wondering. surprise and joyful disbelief and wonder. That is the disciples' response to witnessing resurrection. We too are called to be witnesses of resurrection, to live in a state of wonder at what God can do. Too often we get too busy or we get bored, we get stuck in the ruts of our routines, and we forget to look around us for signs of resurrection. We forget to live in awe. Resurrection is not something that happened one time 2,000 years ago. Resurrection is knitted into the very fabric of creation, into God's design for our lives. So if we pay attention, we can see resurrection all around us. We might glimpse resurrection in a miraculous healing, like I did with my friend William. We might witness resurrection in the repairing of a relationship that we thought was long gone. Or we might experience resurrection in a renewed sense of energy and purpose within ourselves. Resurrection is happening all around us. Our job as disciples is to be on the lookout. And when we see the Spirit at work, bringing about life from death, we are called to rejoice, to be overcome with wonder, to be utterly astonished. So this Easter season, be on the lookout for resurrection and allow yourself to be overcome with a holy awe. Amen.